It's time to unpimp the email. Dear Strongman, do you listen to any podcasts? They're way better than radio. You should listen to some. My favorite is Technorama. Janice O. Janice O. Janice O. I will try this podcasting of which you speak. Plan on me stopping by your place around 8:30 on Sunday or Wednesday. Now let's have a listen to Technorama.
Hello and welcome to Technorama.
It's got a silicone skin that fits like a glove.
The only thing that's exposed
when it's all tight and sealed up, even if you put in the wide body adapter, it's still too squeezy on the silicone skin. There is a little rubber
trap door.
It's a very thin membrane, and it impedes absolutely none.
Every once in a while, you know, raise it up or take it off and clean.
Cripes! That's it? What a couple of losers! Hey, the cheat! I think I got a job for you! Yeah, here is a microphone. You just tell that story about the time you were riding the carousel with live horses. I love that one. Now, let's send it to Chuck and Craig so they can listen to your dribble.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome to Technorama. Technorama is the podcast that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geeky without the bitter aftertaste. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my co-host, the one with the bitter aftertaste, Craig Stepp.
I'm clean and refreshing.
And a third fewer calories than your regular Craig.
Fresh, like a summer breeze.
Welcome to show number 102 for April 20th, 2006. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got Tim. He follows up on UPS batteries. Mm-hmm. We've got a wooden motorcycle.
Speaking of sticking your tongue to something.
What?
UPS battery.
Oh. On a similar vein of batteries, we've got the biggest damn potato battery you've ever seen, a wooden motorcycle. How to turn your old-fashioned satellite dish into a gazebo, and it's giveaway night for the Extreme Mac AirPlay 2. Find out if you're the lucky winner.
That's right.
All this and more coming up right after On This Day in Tech History.
One taste of me and you'll be fresh for the rest of your days.
I don't want to taste you. You got no taste.
You like school in the summertime. You got no class.
On This Day in Tech History for April 20th, 2006. This is April 20th, it's the 110th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 225 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1770 that Lieutenant James Cook's expedition makes first sighting of the eastern Australian coastline, naming the spot Cape Hicks. His logbook recorded the date as April 19th, but the 20th was the actual calendar date. The first pasteurization test completed by Louis Pasteur and Claude Bernard was made on this date in 1862. And on this date in 1902, Pierre and Marie Curie refine radium chloride. Western Electric and Warner Brothers announce Vitaphone, a process to add sound to film, on this date in 1926. And on this date in 1953, Project Bluebird turns into Project MK Ultra. Apollo 16 lands on the moon 34 years ago on this date. Happy birthday on this date goes out in 1745 to Philippe Pinel, the French physician. An American scientist, George Stibitz, was born on this date in 1904. Swedish physicist and Nobel Prize winner Kai Sabon was born on this date in 1918. And Swiss physicist Carl Alexander Müller was born on this date in 1927. Gerald S. Hawkins, the English astronomer, was born on this date in 1928. And George Takei, Mr. Sulu, turns 66 today. And finally, Andy Serkis, the man who played Gollum in the Lord of the Rings movies, turns 42 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for April 20th, 2006.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
I knows him.
I knows him too. Someone in the chat room said that the cheat sounds like Fidget from Dr. Floyd. Kind of funny that those two ended up in the same show.
No kidding.
Only Fidget is slightly more intelligible if you actually listen to Dr. Floyd.
And sock-shaped.
Sock-shaped puppet assistant. I'm working on a video for Dr. Floyd. I gotta send it to him.
What?
Julie and I have thought up something real short, real sweet. Don't know if he'll put it in the feed or not, but
he needs to put something back in that video feed.
Well, that was for the advent calendar, man.
No, he's been doing videos for the some of the old clips from Dr. Floyd.
Oh, right, video clips. Right.
And what's
this? A letter for me.
We have a letter.
And me.
This is from Tim from the High Potency Music Podcast. Listener from Detroit.
You got to be careful when you get close to that podcast.
He's responding to Charles Stell and his UPS. Although Charles was talking about fans and bearings and things. This is more about batteries, but a very good response anyway. He said, a company called Complete Battery Source has many types of UPS batteries in stock. Some 6-volt batteries are available at kinds of places that sell electrical parts by the case to contractors. Apparently, the 6-volt ones in my APC 600 are the same battery used in emergency exit signs. That's interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah, I think I have seen those before. Yeah.
I've seen the ones that are available in emergency lighting systems. But
that's what I meant. I'm sorry. Yeah, yes.
Not the exit signs, though. I thought those were hardwired. But anyway, anything that has only one battery, it's usually 12 volts, and electrical supply shops don't carry those. I've got a battery for an APC unit. Oddly enough, it's around 5 years old as well, for under $30 shipped. This turned from Technorama into Techno eBay. If I had to buy 3 or more of them, it would be worthwhile to make the 2-hour round-trip commute, but shipping them UPS ground isn't that bad, and since it was from a place only an hour away, it took 2 days anyway. Isn't that funny how sometimes you can get things really quickly shipped from far away, but if it's just down the road, it takes longer?
Yeah, when I ordered my iPod, fourth gen, when it first came out,
yeah,
they said, don't expect it for, a couple of weeks or whenever, and anyway, it came within a few days, but I looked to see at the tracking information. It came from overseas in Asia somewhere, all the way over through Alaska, down here and at my desk within like 3 or 4 days. I was just like, holy cow.
Yeah, and then that stuff that I sent you showed up next day.
Yeah.
It was FedEx ground, but it showed up the next day.
Now, if it had to be there next day, we'd never seen it.
No. What is up with that?
I don't know.
Very bizarre.
It's crazy and wacky.
Speaking of crazy and wacky, the chat room's going nuts.
Hello, Homer.
We have Beaker One, Bumble Root, East Bay Ant, Human Shield, John 335, Mark Shepard, Mike in Minnesota. He's been kind of quiet.
He's away.
Was he away? How do you know that?
Yeah, we'll keep going.
He was in there when I got into the chat room about an hour and a half ago.
Well,
Missing Intellect, who's not missing, he's actually right there under Mike in Minnesota. Tim Elliott and Zaha Doom, and Southern Harmony was there a little while ago, but she had to drive home in the tornadoes. That's her story, and she's sticking to it.
Human Shield just says his fifth gen op, I came just as quick, but of course it was broken. Oops.
Joni has just joined us.
Hey, Joni. Whoop. Joni.
We also have the Fit, what would you call it, a Frapper Smack?
I call it the Frapper Smackdown Golden Edition.
XP Pro. It's only going until the end of the month. April 30th is our last date, so if you have any friends who use, or maybe friends who don't use Frapper, stick their pin on the Technorama map so we can show the rest of the friends in tech who's who.
If you think we're goofy and stupid, show your support and put a pin on our pant.
If you're considering unsubscribing, stick a pin on the Frapper map.
Before you do so.
If you've breathed in the last 24 hours, stick a pin on the Frapper map.
If you enjoy food and water,
stick a pin on the Frapper.
Thank you.
Hey, I also want to give a special thanks to John for the donation in the tip jar. Very generous. Keeps the bandwidth going. And Craig, sooner or later, will make enough to pay you and me, and we'll quit our day jobs. But this donation did not cover that.
Oh, well.
We would be eating Happy Meals for couple of days, and that'd be
hey,
it
doesn't matter. Hey, it doesn't matter. Thanks, no, man. We thank really you very much. It.
Yes, we do. I'm just in all
Are
fairness.
You dissing him?
Golly. No, I'm just saying. Happy Look, meals.
Is your water? Is your glass of water half full or half empty, there, Chuck? I would.
The tip jar has a tip. I'm happy.
Okay, beer money. Let's go.
This is for like Chuck and Craig at like Technorama podcast and stuff. Oh, yeah, I think your Technorama podcast like rocks. Not as good as Metallica, but still rocking pretty cool. And I listen to it every week, and still not getting me any like chicks and stuff. But you can keep on putting it out, and I'll keep on like listening. All right, 101 guys, I'm out of here. Oh, cool.
I'm Patrick Norton, DLTV and Twit, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Hacks and Strange Stories! Before we get into our Hacks and Strange Stories, I wanted to just give a quick reminder that I forgot to mention
Don't try this
on
at home.
The last show...
Don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home. You could hurt yourself. We have clamps. Last Friday, which was the 14th, we got our interview with John Chatterton from Deep Sea Detectives in the Shadow Divers book. And it's a little long right now. I'm trying to edit it a little shorter and level some of the audio. I meant to get that out in the Tuesday feed, but didn't make it. There's just too much to do. So I will be going back to the editing block this weekend and hopefully get it in next Tuesdays before it gets a little aged. So we've got that to look forward to, and we have a couple more in the pipeline. We also have the trip to Fermilab coming up in May, which will be interesting. Not sure how I'm going to work that in, if it's going to be an interview or if it's going to be more of a sound seeing tour with segments, kind of like the junkyard from last fall or the Recycle Center.
And Chuck's going to go out to Malaysia and check out all the chip fabs out there.
Yeah. And all those real cheap CDs that you can buy for like a dollar and get Office.
Yeah.
Just kidding. In the Hacks and Strange Stories, we've got a way to turn your big ugly dish or your BUD into a gazebo. Did you get a chance to look at this?
I did. And you know what this reminds me of? This is like one of those old satellite dishes that has like the metal braces up under it with the mesh.
Yeah, about a 10-foot diameter.
Now, you know what? This reminded me of a guy that I know. He wanted a simulator chair, and where you have the controller sticks in front of you, and he had like two or three monitors. He was trying to do a flight sim, and he took an old satellite dish like that and cut a couple of the arms off.
Yeah.
And made arms that you could, when you sat down in the he had a chair out of a van mounted on this big metal. I mean, it looked really good. He was a welder, I should say. So anyway, he had these two arms that was sitting behind the van chair. You could pull them down, and on the very end of them, he had the control sticks mounted on it.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, he had the mount for the van sitting there so you could adjust it just like you could in the car. But it was cool. And, you know, at the time, this is way before XP came around. So he was using like Windows 98, trying to put like two or three monitors on there.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he was stretching it, but you know, he was stretching the PC and at the time it was high end, but it was cool. He had the flight simulator and everything, and he had the thing was great for racing too, when you sit down in it and have the control arm. But anyway, the gazebo, it looks like they took the whole thing and just stuck it right on the top of some posts and made a gazebo.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The first picture is interesting because it looks like this thing has been there for about 50 years, overgrown with pine trees.
Yeah.
I'm like, how old is this thing?
There's no way this thing's getting a signal.
The darn trees are in the way. Well, they weren't there when the thing was installed.
looks like a picture out of the wrong installation procedure of the manual.
And then he takes the mesh off and wires up a frame. Then you're right. He puts six posts in the ground, plumbs them all up, puts the dish part on the top, or the framework of the dish, and some lattice work around it, painted it up. It looks really nice. It
yep.
Turned out pretty sweet in the end. I mean, you could have a regular wedding out there.
I've done that. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt.
Next article we have is...
It looks like a tux. Yep.
Hey, that'd be a good one for a wedding. Yeah. Dress up as Tux the Penguin.
Yeah, I'm sure that would go... Yeah, you would never get married.
You'd get married to another geek.
Possibly.
Next article, man ticketed for changing red lights to green. Apparently, it says a Longmont man has been ticketed $50 for suspicion of interfering with a traffic signal, but he says he really enjoyed using it. I'm sure he did.
Well, with suspicion? Well, it sounds like he pretty much just gave it up right there.
He's been
I really enjoyed using it.
For about 2 years, he's been using this flashy light thing that is able to change the traffic signal, because apparently fire trucks and things, when they go through intersections, there's a little sensor up on the traffic light, so they can, you know, flash this instrument and the light will change and give them a better chance of going through the intersection in a sane way.
You know, that was on the Hack 5 video a while back. Did you ever see that?
I did not see that.
On Hack 5, they showed this guy and he was talking to him. They didn't show his face, and he was showing them how they could drive down the road, and he had this thing that looked like an old radar detector or something, a big one, you know, up on the dash. And it was, you know, they go down the road and green, green, green. So
he bought this thing called an Opticon on eBay for $100. So city traffic engineer Joe Olson said traffic engineers plan to update the city system this year to block unauthorized light changing signals. He estimated that the new system, which would be able to block out all unauthorized light changing signals, will cost taxpayers $75,000.
Huh.
Woohoo! Yeah.
That's pocket change to them.
Now you got to admit, that would be a fun toy to have. Next story we have is the 500-pound potato battery. Now, yeah, if you remember...
My studio is running on that right now.
I don't think so. If you remember in science class in grade school, they would take a penny and a nail and stick it in a potato, and you could measure the voltage that went across this. Well, they connected a whole bunch of them in series, 500 pounds of potatoes to be precise, and it was able to generate, let me read on. I built a potato battery out of 500 pounds of potato. It powered a small sound system. With the help of Red 76 crew, I installed the battery and sound system in the back of a U-Haul truck and drove it around town, inviting people to enter the truck and take a listen. Oh, man, I bet the smell was wonderful.
Yeah.
Batteries work by allowing electrons to pass from one electrode to another. In the case of the potato, provides phosphoric acid, which enables a chemical reaction causing electrons to flow from copper to zinc.
The blah,
zinc
blah, blah, electricity, galvanized blah, blah, sound.
All right. Each potato generates about 0.5 volts and 0.2 milliamps. I connected groups of potatoes together in series to increase voltage and then connected the groups together in parallel to increase amperage. The entire 500-pound battery generated about 5 volts and 4 milliamps.
Hey, I like the last line here. Don't eat potatoes after using them for a battery.
Ooh, especially if they've been sitting on the floor of a U-Haul.
What, do they get really acidic or something after you've been doing that?
I guess you can't. Yeah, the electrons are flowing from the zinc to the copper.
Tasty. <Prime up. laughs>
And finally, my favorite, which my coworker Steve from MotoCast already saw, the wooden motorcycle from Make Magazine.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. That's pretty cool.
This wooden motorcycle popped into our suggested mailbox. The it's what made by with 2x4s and 4x4s for the frame, but I mean wheels, handlebars, shocks. Well,
I'd get so pulled over on that. I could never get away from something like that.
That's got to be a rough ride.
I don't know. Well, it's got spring suspension in the front. Well, it's a hardtail, so.
What do you do if the engine or the exhaust starts getting a little hot and it bursts into flames?
Fan them out. Whoa. Oh, by the way, speaking of, this is on Make Magazine, or the Make Magazine website at magazine.com. Do you subscribe to their feed?
I used to. I don't at the moment.
Oh, they send some videos down. And this Bray, I'm going to say Bray Pettis. I'm not sure that's this first name. He's been throwing out these little videos out there, and this last one was pretty good. It was, he made a robot, or he was talking. He actually, let me back up. These two, him and this other group, were making a robot for a robot competition, and they made this robot. It looked like a knife or something that Worf had. You know, it has like blades coming off both sides and stuff. Like, you know, the symmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
And they had wheels on it and the electronics, and it would spin in a circle, and it looked really fast and dangerous. I mean, it looked like it's going to cut something. Well, he made one, Bray Pettis, he made one out of styrofoam.
What?
He made it out of styrofoam. And you know what? I'm going to leave it at that. I want you to go find it, or I'll put a link to the video, but you can watch and see what happened.
Okie doke.
Hey, over there.
Oh, I'm back.
Craig, we're reaching out to you. Now, the trick is, who's going to play it forward? That means the listener is great, and so is the feedback. No fooling, Jack.
That's cute, Chuck. Really cute. I like that, I think.
There's no I in team.
There's an I in apple. It's an extension of IRC.
That's a good geek way to put it. I like that.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Go for it, Craig.
Okay, I just noticed this the other day, and I got all excited about it, and I had to say something. X-Men 3 is coming out May 26th!
Woohoo!
I cannot wait. And from everything I've seen, it looks really good. Now, I just saw a minute ago that I think it's on Fox, and I'm not sure where. We'll have to dig a little bit. They're going to have a 7-minute preview of the movie. So
a 7-minute preview?
Yeah, you know, like some movies they've been coming out with, like, it was like Shrek 2. They came out with a 10-minute preview where at the time you could only watch it on the internet, the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Holy crap, man.
So they're gonna play like 7 minutes of it. Also, I did see some more pictures of Superman Returns over at comingsoon.net. I saw that a few minutes ago as well. So there you go. There's your good information, dude.
I like it. Hey, this is the night we are drawing for the Extreme Mac AirPlay 2 giveaway. Thank you for everybody who entered the contest. And the winner is... Oh, that was nice. Ben Leong! I hope I said that close. He's from Hong Kong. So we're shipping this little FM transmitter to Hong Kong. I wonder if it'd be cheaper if I just, like, ran it over to him while I was in Malaysia.
I was going to say, maybe just mail it in Malaysia.
Could be. I'm going to have to find out. What's the shipping cost from Malaysia to Hong Kong versus
US? See if he can meet up with him and give it to him.
If I send it ground, will it actually get there?
We just drove in from Hawaii.
Wait, the playlist isn't working now. It's like the good old days of Chuck Chat. I'm on the wrong darn playlist. There we go.
It's time to play Try a Geek.
Try a Geek is a game we're playing on Technorama to test your geek prowess. We'll give out three geek words from tech, science, literature, and media that have some association. If you think you know what the association is, send your answer in an email to game@chuckchat.com. Points are awarded based on the difficulty of the clue, 1 to 3 points. You only get one guess per game, so make it a good one. We'll keep track of the scores in the wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki. Good luck, and here are your clues. This time we're worth 2 points. The words are up, top, and charm. And for a bonus point, you get... If you can tell me what the rest of that set is made up of, again, the words are up, top, and charm for 2 points. Complete the rest of the set for an extra bonus point. And we're keeping score in the wiki. We have several leaders right now. Yes, sir.
I think there are shows on the WB.
No. I wanna read out we've got some real kick butt leaders in the leaderboard right now. Mark Shepard, all these people have 4 points. Mark Shepard, Dean Jensen, aka Beaker One, Joni in New Hampshire, Adam Larson, Anthony Warnack, aka East Bay Ant, Edward Chase, aka Bumble Root, Chad Streckmad, Marv Steve, Cody, and topping out our leaderboard is Weber Baker. Sounds a lot like the chat room roll call. We have the same 10. Don't answer in the chat room if you know the answer to that. Top, up, and charm are the three words. Again, finish the set and you get a bonus point.
Cheese it!
That's not the series.
Geek Thoughts Center.
A computer's attention span is only as long as its power cord.
Here at the Center of Podcast Studies, we know the dangers of podcasting and what you should avoid. Here's a sample.
Oh, no, it works.
Yes, I got it back. I got every bit of it.
It's small, fast, does hex and block edits.
But oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that last time.
We're your geek morning show.
That's the thing about podcasts. We can be up anytime.
Don't listen to this while operating heavy machinery. You could spit out your water. I wonder what you'd get. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and make my comment.
Hey, wake me up when you're done.
I completely missed that one.
The writers of Back to the Future didn't see that one coming. Thanks, man. I had to think about that.
For your own research materials, visit chuckchat.com/technorama. Protect yourself.
Remember, don't answer in the chat room if you know the answer to the three words.
Yeah. Cheese it!
Would you stop? It's either Robot House or Cheese It now, isn't it?
Robot Cheese It!
Robot Cheese.
Yeah. Cheese Whiz It.
Take us out. Short show tonight.
Take us out, Mr. Savick. All right. Yeah, it is a short show tonight. I don't know what happened to us. But anyway, here's how you can contact us. Call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com or send audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. You can also contact Greg at greg@chuckchat.com. And please visit our website at www.chuckchat.com for our forums, swag, webcam, mailing list, links, show notes, and much more.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. If you're getting this show by clicking on the link on the website, consider subscribing to get the show automatically sent to you for free. Drop either one of us an email if you need more information on how to do that. And always tell a friend about Technorama. They'll wonder what you're smoking. Till next time, give us a binary high five.
101.
We are
out
of here. Holy crap there, strong man. I think you got something going with the podcast thing there.